Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week where two old guys, one also older guy, and one as old as me mother. So I guess you're just an old mother.
That was like a weird pirate. As old as me mother are.
Every other time I'm described as something radiant or illustrious, and you just call me old.
Old mother.
You're 30 now, I'm sorry.
she said, why aren't you calling me radiant? Come on, Tyler. I'm sitting here with this cloak over me and this tie-dye t-shirt. I'm radiant. God damn it.
I'm just saying. Introductions are not what they once were.
You're a radiant 30-year-old.
Okay.
That's better.
Okay.
Me mother.
Talk about old games.
I'm glad you remember.
I didn't finish that sentence.
What are we doing here?
That was a long parenthetical phrase.
It is Original Flavor Wednesday, and on Original Flavor Wednesday, we play backwards through IGN's Top 100 Super Nintendo Games. Today is Christmas Eve, I think is when this is dropping, Christmas Eve.
Wednesday, yeah.
So, is it Wednesday? Merry Christmas.
So Merry Christmas.
I gotta go, I got some shopping.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
So we are, for your Christmas Eve pleasure, we're sure you've got the whole family gathered around the fire, listening to Tadpog.
Yeah.
For the first part of Final Fantasy III.
Your weird family.
Your weird and very understanding family.
Visions of Gooters prancing through your head.
Oh, we should do Christmas introductions.
I could probably do a Christmas introduction.
Yeah, I could probably do one too. You don't have to, Tyler. I know you stress about yours.
Oh, I stress about mine too, but I don't come up with them beforehand, so it's real easy for me to be like, all right, Christmas intro, got it.
But first, I'm your bearded host, Tyler. And then I was thinking, because we talk about intro stories, I didn't know what to do. So then various ideas were thrown around about my parents. So instead of like one long story, I'll do like a small little rapid fire thing about shit my parents have done. And like my dad, I think we've talked about, you know, my dad is, he's a hothead. He has a temper.
Hey, he's been on the show before. We all know.
He's part of the show. You heard his temper. About bacon deodorant.
He had a great joke.
Being high on pot.
It's great.
But I remember one of the first like surprising things I remember hearing about my dad was before he and my mom got married, my mom was engaged to somebody else. And while she was engaged, that's when she met my dad and fell for my dad and, you know, broke the engagement and got with my dad. And I remember like shortly, like she had just ended this engagement and got with my dad, and they were driving down the road. Like, my dad was taking my mom home. And they happened to pass my mom's ex-fiancé on the side of the road. Like, he was just walking home, I guess. I don't know. They passed him. He recognized the car, and he flipped my dad off. My dad just immediately slams on the brakes, cuts the wheel, turns back around and gets to him. Dad gets out of the car and breaks the guy's nose, gets back in his car, and takes my mom home.
That's badass.
So my mom was probably just afraid of my dad.
That doesn't sound like the guy we had on the show. That sounds like some kind of like Mad Max badass.
He's such a happy-go-lucky fella before.
So that's my dad. And then my mother, on the other hand, is the shrinking violet because she... remember, alcohol was always a big thing. I'd totally forgotten about this until Miller brought it up. That my mom was very, very touchy about alcohol. I mean, a sip of alcohol just puts you right on the bullet train to hell. That's just it. It's what the devil has sown in end of the world. Alcohol is just like one of the worst things ever.
Well, I mean, it's true.
I was like, I was 22 or 23 in culinary school, and one, I was taking a mandatory class on beer, wines, and spirits, which my mom begged me not to take it. I was like, it's a requirement for graduation. I have to take it. Tyler, you just don't need to be learning about that and talking about that. I was like, well, it's too bad I have to take it. I'm not sure I feel comfortable, you know, giving you money and helping you pay tuition for this. It's we're not like getting drunk for like an hour in the day. We're just, it's more about alcohol serving and safety. Okay.
We all do it naked. It's perfectly normal.
But I remember we had gone out to eat and I had gotten a margarita with our we went to out eat Mexican. I got like, you know, spicy burrito and I got a margarita to go with it. I paid for it, put my receipt in my pocket, and I went home and took all my laundry home to do my laundry. She's nice like that.
I mean,
that.
Right.
Yeah. And she went through, she was doing my laundry.
This dirty laundry traveled how many miles?
From Louisville to Paducah, Kentucky. I remember I would go home with like 4 trash bags full of, I lived there for 2 years. I never saw the laundry room in my building. I had a key to go in there, but I was like,
yeah,
I'm just going to go home. It's fine.
You know, it probably had that like single light bulb that just constantly swung in
it
there.
It was in like the corner and like you had to go down steps. I was like, no, I don't want to go in there. But she saw that I'd bought a margarita. I remember she cried and cried and cried that I had a margarita with my meal.
Did she call you or did you see her in person?
I think she called me.
She called you crying?
Yeah, because I was out somewhere. I'd come in for the weekend. I was probably at your house gaming. And then I think, she called me crying and very upset.
Oh, man.
Did you blame it on Jimmy Buffett?
I blame it on Brandon. I was like, no, that was, I bought that margarita for Brandon.
Did you really?
Cash. No.
It was his birthday.
I said, it's not a big deal. I wanted to try it. She was just upset. She also cried and cried and cried whenever at our wedding, Megan and I decided to serve beer and wine. That was a big deal because that wasn't starting our marriage off on the right foot by serving alcohol. And she didn't understand why it would be in a church to begin with. I was like, well, they don't allow hard liquor in the church, but beer and wine are okay.
The first split second I thought you meant, she was like, I don't know why you would have your wedding in a church to begin with. Yeah, I mean.
No, we had the church? Reception. We had the reception in the parish hall of the church, and you can't have hard liquor, but it's totally fine to have wine and beer.
Mm-hmm.
We're Episcopalian.
There's part of me that's like, that's completely understandable. And the other part's like, what's the difference? Like, yeah. Why can't you just have a little Irish whiskey and nip on it?
I think the idea is that people get much drunker much faster with hard liquor.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's true. It's hard to dispute that.
Perhaps more prone to destruction of the property.
It's just a matter of how long you want people there, right?
I guess. There's a bar across the street.
It's anyway. A good bar.
Yeah, it is a good bar.
Miller's bought many a Jaeger bomb there. Yes, I have.
They don't allow Jaeger at the church.
Right.
I did, for many, many years, I coasted on one thing that just random luck happened. Like, my parents didn't, like, they weren't super intrusive when I was little, but they did, like, my dad, I was on the phone, and my dad had picked up the phone and realized I was talking. And normally, he would, like, see that I was talking and set it back down.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, he happened to hear the girl I was talking to saying something, and dad put it on speakerphone, and my parents listened to this whole conversation I had with this girl.
What was she saying?
Well, because I think my dad picked up and she was like, what, you've never gotten drunk? And this was like, I was like in eighth grade. So he was flabbergasted that I'd never gotten drunk. She's like, you've never gotten drunk? I was like, no, I haven't. Why have you not? I was like, well, I've never really been around it. Plus, you know, it's just not something I'm interested in doing. Plus, I mean, it would kill my parents if I ever did that. So no, I'm not going to do that. So, I mean, they heard that. Yeah. And they were, all right.
Spoken like a child who knows he's on speakerphone.
I didn't know. It's all happy coincidence. And then she was like, oh, but you never had sex either. It's like, nope, never had sex. She's like, oh, when are you going to? I was like, probably when I'm married. And then, like, we talked for a little bit longer, and then, like, I hung up the phone, and, like, I walked in the living room, and, like, my parents were both, like, sitting there, like, looked extraordinarily proud of me and told me that they had happened to hear the conversation. And I coasted on that trust basically until college. They never questioned anything I ever did, like, from then on out.
It's such a good thing that they don't listen to this show.
It's too late now, right?
I mean, my brother also reinforces it to my mom. Like, no, do not listen to it.
I thought you meant he reinforced that you were a complete, like, angel. They're like, yeah. Well, he's just absolutely waiting for the rap.
He never fucked on your ottoman.
Kenna is over at your mom's house right now wearing a Tadpog t-shirt.
Good girl.
That's it for me.
Well, it's Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Christmas stories.
I can hear the fire crackling and
can't the jingle bells.
Yeah, and the carolers outside.
The reindeer on the roof.
Yeah.
Christmas troves.
What's up, Internet? I'm Dave. I'm your bespectacled host, and I may have already told you this story last Christmas. If I did, I don't fucking care if I tell it again. Some of y'all bitch about not being able to listen to 50 episodes back anyway. So here you go. This is fresh content.
We can go through our old episodes and just recycle those stories. Yeah.
And actually, it's really good that Meg's here because I feel like I can ask you, is this wrong? Is this wrong? Is this thing that we did wrong?
If you have to ask a priest, then yeah.
Well, maybe I can be absolved. My dad hates to travel at Christmas, and we rarely do. Nikki and I rarely travel for Christmas. We are this Christmas because Henry was just born, and we want to take him to see Nikki's family. But I've already told Nikki, like, please, let's not travel on Christmas because it's just a hassle. It's a headache. And the reason I say that is because I remember the one time that we traveled for Christmas when I was a kid. We got back on, like, Christmas. It was Christmas Day. We got back. We got home, and there were no decorations out. There was no tree, no stockings. And my mom, like, just totally cried and cried and cried because, like, it just wasn't Christmas. And the whole time, my dad, like, when I was a kid, I didn't understand why my dad was getting frustrated. But, like, as a 33-year-old man, like, I could totally see, like, you wanted to travel. Like, this was your idea. And we get back, and you're sad that we traveled for Christmas. So he said, come on, Dave, let's get in the car. And I was like, where are we going? He's like, we have to get a Christmas tree. We have to find a Christmas tree.
We're staying in a motel. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
That's so sweet.
This woman is crazy. I cannot take it anymore. You and I are getting a tree. We're going to put it up in Motel 6. That'll show her.
You're going to have your first bourbon and cigarette tonight while you watch this tree.
For the record, I think my dad probably cried when he found out I smoked. That'll, like, tie back to your mom crying about the margarita. And if he's listening, no, of course he didn't cry. My dad never cries, ever. Those tear ducts are just dust. So we drove around, and we, like, tried to find, like, we drove by the regular spots that would have Christmas trees, yeah. And they were, like, all closed up. We found one Christmas tree stand that actually had a tree. The stand was closed, and we just took that tree.
Merry Christmas. Yeah,
we just stole that tree. What is the statute's limitation on stealing a Christmas tree? That's
45 years. Shit.
Well, allegedly, my father and I stole a Christmas tree when I was a boy. So we brought home this stolen property and hung ornaments from it.
Allegedly, that's ignorant.
It's petty theft. It's fine.
Yeah. You think so? Is that all right?
It's under $300.
I feel like after Christmas, those trees are probably just going to get dumped anyway.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I don't think probably. I don't think you can replant a Christmas tree.
Nah. So that's it.
By its roots and have, like, all the roots in your living room, we're going to replant this one. It's done.
It's fine. This way it's not stealing. We're just borrowing this
It'll
tree.
Be even bigger next year.
I think there are Christmas trees that, like, they bundle all the roots and you can plant. I think that's a thing. They're very expensive.
I think it's a thing that I'm not interested in. I think putting up a tree in and of itself is just such a laborious
thing. I've never had a real one. Ever.
As a kid, we always had real ones. Like, that was, my mom had to have a real one or it just wasn't Christmas. But, like, artificial is great for me because it means I don't have to go buy a tree. I can just pull one out of the attic.
Yep.
Yep. You have a Christmas story, Miller?
Yeah, I was going to, I had been saving up this shame story for a while.
Nice.
Oh, maybe, maybe I should go first because you're going to be a much better storyteller than me.
I don't, I mean,
Miller's shame's generally delicious.
No, but I'm not going to tell the shame story because I'm going to tell the Christmas story. So it's up to you. I'll go now. I'll go next. Whatever you want.
That's weird that my doctor's office is calling me at 7 o'clock at night.
On a Sunday. Maybe you should take maybe that call. Maybe you should
probably answer. Hello? I put bird on speaker.
Yeah, we can patch that through.
I have an appointment.
That's a reminder. Okay.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. Well, my Christmas story is really short. Mine is that I'm the youngest of four children, and
by a large margin.
Yeah, I'm a lot younger than my brothers and sisters.
Congratulations to you.
So I was sort of the I don't want to say the favorite. Because I know parents don't.
I don't
want to
say the favorite,
but the favorite.
But I was the favorite.
But my siblings are assholes.
Everybody else sucks.
But I rarely got in trouble. Let's just say I can do a lot of things.
Your parents were sick of everybody's shit by the time you came along.
I know. It's not
that you were, maybe you weren't the favorite. They were just like, fuck it, she can do whatever.
And I was definitely a daddy's girl, and my dad would let me get away with a lot of things. So my brothers were really into snooping for Christmas presents, and they had gotten in trouble for it so many times, and they finally came up with this brilliant plan that they would send me in to snoop. And then I would just tell them what I had found. And if my parents found me, I wouldn't get in trouble.
That's pretty good.
But if I did get in trouble, it would be me getting in trouble and not them.
Pretty smart.
Yeah.
So they this is like over a few years. Like for the first 2 years, it worked like a charm. It was fine. And then 1 year I got caught, and I ratted them out mercilessly.
I'm taking the fall for them.
I know. I was just Brian Chris made me do it. And
that was the last time you saw them.
As it turned out, I did not get in trouble, and they got in huge trouble. Mm-hmm. Huge trouble. So it's a Christmas tradition is the snooping for presents in our house.
And you probably, like, the added bonus of that was, like, you probably got to find yours, too.
Yeah. And, you know, my parents were the worst hiders. They would just, like, put stuff on the floor of their bedroom, close their bedroom door and say, don't go in the bedroom. Just like, come on. Put a little effort into it. But after four kids, they just were just like, oh.
I don't. Yeah, I can't blame them.
We never snooped for me and my brother never. Like, we really enjoyed the surprise at the end of the day. And then my parents, after a while, like, once we were old enough to know that money was pretty cool, they were just like, here's money. just take that and get whatever the hell you want. We don't understand what you kids want. Like, what's a play box? Get that shit out of here. Just take the money and go buy one. Whatever. Okay, so I was going, like I said, I was going to tell the shame story. But I'll save that for a later episode because I do have a Christmas story. I feel like I've told one of y'all this story, or maybe both, or I might have even told it on Dad Bog. I really don't remember. But it was a Christmas story. Me and my friends, let me back up. My family had a room, a living room in our house, the house they're still living in now, that nobody was allowed in. We had two basically living room areas, and one of them was a really nice living room with all the, like, white furniture and white, like, it had a white Christmas tree in it at Christmas and all the really, and we were not allowed in there. Don't go in there.
That sounds so weird. Your parents had a white room and no one was allowed to go in.
Well, it was like, it was a place where they put
whites their, only.
Yeah. It was like, it was where they had all their nicer stuff. Like we had the den where we sat and watched TV, and this room just stay out of there. And so naturally when my parents would leave, we would ransack the room. We would go in there and it had the couches in there were really soft. So that is where we would practice our wrestling moves. my friends would come over and we would practice like the choke slam onto the couch and the body slam and everything. And one
the
blow
day, job.
No.
That's his shame story. Yeah.
you're ruining the punchline for next time.
These stories bleed together.
Stop it. So one day we're in there just screwing around and like I fall backwards onto the couch and one of the legs just breaks off.
Oh my God, no.
And like it was so funny because me and my brother both had a tendency when we would sit down on a chair or a couch, we just kind of flopped. Like we didn't easily sit down. We just flopped down on the couch.
Yeah, you did it the right way.
Yeah. So I was like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And my friend, I think Logan was my friend that was over there. He'd grown up the street. He was like, I don't know. What are we going to do? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, let's just set the couch on there. Let's just set it up. Let's just stick it under there and just leave it. It'll be fine. Nobody ever comes in here. It'll be fine. So we did and forgot about it. Fast forward 3 months. Nobody's been there. And it's Christmas morning. And that's where we had our Christmas, you know, morning. That's where we opened presents. And my parents yelled at us to come downstairs. We come downstairs. My brother immediately walks over that couch, flops down on it, and the couch just rolls over backwards. Just completely like it looked almost like cartoonish because it didn't just fall down off the leg. The leg just he flopped so hard that the couch just turned over sideways. And that leg is just rolling around in a circle on the wood floor. It was. I don't think it had come out yet, but if you remember when David Spade opens the car door in Tommy Boy, and Chris Farley goes, what'd you do? That's exactly what I did. I just looked at my brother, what'd you do, man? My mother was pissed. She was so mad. She was like, you're never allowed in this room again. And I was like, technically, we weren't allowed in here to begin with. Oh, she was, yeah.
So, I'm going to go put the baby to bed. I'll be right back.
Okay. Did you guys have different Santa traditions? Like, how did Santa Claus give you guys presents when you were little?
There was
May's gonna come
whatever
out.
Tyler is about to say is wrong. Santa wraps presents. Okay.
Well, yeah, of course he does.
Yeah.
Of course he does. He has elves to do it.
Yeah.
He's got a million fucking elves.
So tell me about your presents, Tyler.
I had my parents for Santa did like a loot pile. Stuff that was from them was wrapped under the tree. What Santa wouldn't wrap anything. He would just make a big treasure pile. Like there was like my treasure pile and my brother's treasure pile.
I like to think that they were like building some kind of like lore around Santa, like their own lore. Like Santa's really messy and tight on time. So he just throws his presents under the tree haphazardly. Meanwhile, we're our parents. We're your parents and we love you. So we wrap these.
But I remember like I loved that as a kid because I loved my brother like 4 or 5 in the morning. We'd get up early and we would just barely peek in the room and we could see like it was still dark outside, but we could see the outline of like whatever Santa had given us, like sitting in the living room. And it was always I always really, really enjoyed that.
We had it.
Meg thinks it's bullshit.
Well, I don't know. I didn't pick that up.
The only semi tradition on that same vein that we had was most kids like Christmas morning are like running into their parents' room like get up, open our parents, get up. They had to drag me and my brother out of bed. We were so fucking lazy. We didn't even want to get up and look at all the cool shit we got. We're just like, what time is it? It's 10 o'clock.
I'm going to break a chair and mom's going to be mad.
Oh, it's amazing how many times that we broke shit like that too. I don't know if this is going to make it into the show because we're running long on the story part of this, but remember John got really pissed at me. My brother got really mad at me in the garage one day and just heaved a basketball at my face as hard as he could. And I just ducked out of the way in time and wound up leaving just a giant hole in the drywall in the garage. So John, being the, you know, mastermind that he is, goes to Walmart and buys a Michael Jordan, like Air Jordan poster. And all of a sudden, we've just got a Jordan poster in the garage. It took my dad 5 seconds. Walked in. He looked at that. He looked at it and goes, it's a poster doing there. He just looked at me. Then he looked at my brother and kind of frowned. Just walked over and took the poster down. I was like, mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Trying to Shawshank your way out of here.
Yeah. we broke there's so many of these times that we just broke shit. We were so destructive. And what's bad about it is there were times we didn't break stuff and we got blamed for it. To this day, my mom, just like 2 days ago, my mom was bitching about the time we broke the cabinet doors, like above the, and me and John to this day are just like, we did not do that. We have owned up to all the shit we broke. We did not do it. She goes, all I know is I was standing there and it just all of a sudden fell off. And I was like, well, there you go. Like, it's one thing to set a couch on a chair. We're not the Corps of Engineers. We can't, like, set something up to fall as soon as you walk into a room with some kind of pulley system. And I was like, we couldn't even reach it. I mean, it's way the hell up on top of the...
I think that should be your Christmas tradition, is that every Christmas you break something of your mom's.
And then wrap it and give it to her.
This goes to something. You figure out what. Well,
there was a fun Christmas game.
There was another. It was a really, really, really nice lamp. And instead of like a traditional shade, the shade was just like this metal framing with like 10 glass panels all around it. And we broke two of the glass panels. And our solution to that was to move the lamp to the other side of the room. And put
a Michael Jordan poster out.
We adjusted it to where the two broken panels were facing right up against the wall. She's like, she'll never notice that. She'll never notice that. But she immediately walks in and is like, why is that lamp over there? I mean, it was constantly shit like that.
I feel like we need to like have sleigh bells behind that, that 25 minutes of the show. Yeah.
All right, Final Fantasy VI? Yeah. Final Fantasy III. Sorry, Miller.
My eyebrows shot up so wide there for a second.
On IGN's list, it is Final Fantasy III.
What's it ranked?
Number 4.
4. Man, we're almost done.
Wow.
Almost done.
That's awesome.
So this will be part one, because I feel like we have a lot of shit to say about this game. This was... Mm-hmm. This was a big deal to me when I was young. Mm-hmm. This, and it's hard for me because, of course, I talk about Earthbound more, but I feel like I love this about as much as I do Earthbound. It's just, it's a very different kind of RPG.
I think your struggle between Earthbound and Final Fantasy III is the same for me and Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, I was going to say, III. I figured it would be with you, Chrono Trigger.
I still to this day, like before we were recording, I was sitting in that chair over there like, I still don't know which one I like better. I think it's Chrono Trigger, but I'm not positive.
For me, it's Final Fantasy II because Final Fantasy III, I think, is clearly the better game. But I actually, you know, II seemed something about it, knowing that it came before and it still did so many great things that hadn't been done yet. And
yeah.
It was like III, the jump from II to III was huge, but from II... You know, from anything else to II was also really huge.
Playing II again for the show was amazing because I never would have said that before then, but replaying it was like, wow, this is actually a really, really good story.
Because I'd played all the other Final Fantasies before that, and they're pretty shitty in comparison. Like, IV is the first time they actually have a good cohesive narrative as opposed to like I. It's just like you're four dudes and you gotta get some crystals.
And don't get paralyzed because that's super annoying.
Yeah. Mm. And then because I played the remake of II and the remake of III, and it's still like II has some characters in it, but like the battle system's all fucked up. And then Final Fantasy III, you're just like, oh, you're the Warriors of Light. You kill the Warriors of Darkness. That's it. You have different jobs. And then IV is like, it's just completely different. And so
these are characters.
Yeah.
And they have stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I've never played III. I think I've heard you talk about it before, but the way you said the Warriors of Light and Warriors of Darkness, it made me think of Xylart from Final Fantasy XI.
like the final.
Oh yeah,
the final
Zalar
mission where you're fighting. It's basically the archangels.
Oh right.
I forgot about that.
It made me think of
that
for some reason, the Warriors of Darkness, which were basically the Archangels.
Yeah, we've talked about getting you back on the show to talk about Final Fantasy XI. Mm-hmm. Like, that needs to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to happen anytime. Get through these last, power through these last three Super Nintendo games at least.
We'll milk these last three for like three months. <it'll be laughs>
But Final Fantasy VI, though, like, I love 2, but then there's something about Final Fantasy III that is just... I feel like Final Fantasy III is the pinnacle of traditional RPG elements. Like, I feel like everything about this game is just, it's the best that the traditional genre can produce.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess first, before we really break down, Dave, do you hear that?
Yeah. Sounds like tiny Rudolph hoofs on the roof, I think.
Clop, clop, clop.
Yeah. Clop, clop, clop. Which is really dangerous in this part of the country because that fucker's going to get shot off in a minute. I do hear that. I hear the clop clop train. I think that like...
Clop clop train.
The clop clop train.
Because I read it clop. It's the just, big totally yeah, difference.
It's just a whole bunch of horses fucking on that train. The train is powered by horse semen. It's pretty gross. yeah, I think that ushers in the Dave Reads Some Wikipedia segment, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. I'm sorry, Miller. It's in here as Final Fantasy VI. So, Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah, I won't punch Wikipedia.
Also known as Final Fantasy III for the SNES version, is a role-playing video game developed and published by Square for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Released in 1994, it is the sixth title in the mainline Final Fantasy series, set in a world with a technology level equivalent to that of the Second Industrial Revolution. The game's story focuses on a group of rebels as they seek to overthrow the Imperial dictatorship. The game features 14 permanent playable characters, the most of any game in the main series. Let's see. Final Fantasy VI was released to critical acclaim and is seen as a landmark title for the role-playing genre. For instance, it was ranked as the number one RPG of all time by IGN. Seems like it might be on the top of this list then, but it's not. Its Super Nintendo and PlayStation versions have sold over 3.48 million copies worldwide to date as a standalone game, as well as over 750,000 copies as part of the Japanese Final Fantasy Collection and the North American Final Fantasy Anthology. And it has won numerous awards since its release.
But this... Because I guess every other RPG I've ever played has such a small pool of characters, and you don't usually get to choose your party. You'll just kind of get thrown in, like, with whoever you have. Like, Final Fantasy IV, like, you don't really choose your party members. It just, the party evolves over time.
Based on the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's one, you said 13?
14.
There's a 14, mm-hmm. Yeah. There's at one point in the game, and this is getting way ahead of myself, and I won't say when, but there where you have to fill up three groups of four. And you always feel bad for the two guys who left out. Yeah. Yeah. I felt really bad playing through it the other day. I was like, oh, who do I got to cut?
Well, because this is the first
sorry,
one.
Sorry, Go-Go. You're going to have to stay.
Oh, not Go-Go. You can't cut Go-Go.
Go-Go had to stay.
Oh, there was no, man.
There was no way. Oh. I was taking Go-Go.
Yumaro, I get. I understand
that.
I
love Yumaro.
Fuck that noise, man.
Well, see, that's the thing. Because you guys have both named the two secret characters, which I thought... As a kid, that made me really flip out.
These
two secret characters that you get.
Oh yeah,
Yumaro being like, okay, you kind of see where someone might like randomly find him, but like Go-Go, it's like unless I knew, I don't know how the fuck anybody ever found Go-Go. That is so like,
I know how I found it.
The first time I saw that, I was so fucking amazed.
Lord Matt told me.
Yeah,
and I don't know who told him, but I know he didn't find that on his own. That's like you said. That's something you just don't fucking find.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Yumaro is he was just a Yeti.
Yeah. I remember, because I talked about my friend Mitch loaning me this game. I just remember turning it on, you know, seeing Squaresoft, and then, like, the storm clouds, and the music rolling in, and Final Fantasy III being, like, on fire, and then go
like,
in.
Like, it literally set on fire on the
TV.
Console.
I was like, oh my god, this game! I remember, like, being super excited to see that, and like it kind of sets a much darker tone than the game actually is. I mean, it has dark elements in it, but I remember that blew out just the title screen. I thought was amazing. And then seeing the three different record slots and then immediately seeing like the graphics of the magic armor.
Yeah.
Walking up the snow, the way that looked.
The Mode 7 and
then,
style, yeah.
Yeah, and then you see like, you know, you start getting the story slowly pieced together and suddenly you're thrust in. I mean, I just think Final Fantasy VI has 3/6. Has one of like the best opening segments.
I'm going to go ahead and not rage because this is going to keep happening. I'm just going to have to take a pill and chill out. So.
It has one of my favorite like openings. I mean, any game, period.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few things about this game that make it stand out. Well, more than a few, really. And we'll get into all the details later, but character development in this game is amazing.
Yeah, because like out of those 14 characters, like most of them get fully fleshed out
a genuine backstory, and you know stuff happens throughout the game involving them. It's not, you never have, with the exception of really, you know, the two
characters.
Secret characters, and maybe Mog to a degree. There's not a whole lot going on there, but the rest of them, there's something deep within the story that has to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other stuff that like the lore comes out later that I don't think is ever fleshed out in the game either.
Oh yeah, like there's lore hidden in the game that I really like. And I remember like finding out the first time about Shadow's dreams and stuff like that, where it's like, wow, they just hid away little bits of story in this game. And like, that's amazing to me, where it's like, they didn't really care that it, like, I shouldn't say they didn't care, but like, they didn't feel like they had to like just put that on Front Street.
Yeah.
It could be just like, well, if someone likes Shadow a lot, they probably have him in a party a lot. And at some time they'll sleep. And when they sleep, they might have a dream.
Yeah.
So that,
and I can't even remember what it was now, but Strago has some kind of weird family backstory thing that happens throughout the lore that doesn't really get a lot of attention in the game. I can't remember what it is.
I think the big thing is with Realm and Shadow.
Yeah.
Realm, Shadow, and Edgar.
Right. And all this stuff is like, you're right, because it's like not a major story point at all. And it's like you can totally go through the game, which I did, and not realize at all. But this was like a game that I own this game. Well, Lord Matt gave me this game, and I never gave it back to him. I still have it. He's asked for it back like as when we were adults, and I said, no. No, you gave this to me. It's mine forever. So I played this game a lot. And like even like the third playthrough, I think, was when I finally started making all these connections where there's actually a lot of backstory to these characters that is completely miss. And it really doesn't matter because it doesn't really affect the main overarching story. It's just these nice little niche pockets of character background.
Yeah. Because I guess the first time you played through, so you weren't influenced by trying to play other things. Your first playthrough, who was your ending party the very first time you beat the game?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
I can tell you who it is, like, every time, because I played through it so many times. I can tell you who it was, like, the last few times.
Okay.
And it was always Saban, Edgar, I think Celis, and Cyan. Because I thought they had the most potent damaging abilities. And I always had either Celis or Terra as sort of a backup and healer and magic kind of thing. But always those four, because I would always do what was Saban's final?
Bum Rush.
Yeah, Bum Rush. I always do Bum Rush with him. With Edgar, I would always use the chainsaw or the drill. Mm-hmm. Of course, once you're level 99, they're about the same. You're really better off using the drill because you don't accidentally get the Vorpal.
The automatic death.
Automatic death, which does absolutely nothing. And then Cyan, when you held it to 8, did like Quadra Slice.
Uh-huh.
Of course, later when I realized that if you put Locke or somebody else in with the Offering and the Genji Glove with an Atma weapon and
Illumina,
Ragnarok or whatever, that was just no. You basically one shot, but those were the four I think that probably were in my final party.
I just picked my favorite characters. So I always had Shadow in my final party. I think because it was usually like Saban, because I love Saban, Saban, Edgar, Mog, and Shadow. And like it just because I like those four characters. Mm-hmm. And like the way that this game works, it's not a based on a job system. The only job system has to do with
the third ability.
Yeah, the third ability for each character. So it's like it really doesn't matter for a lot of them if you're just attacking or casting magic, which, you know, like Mog would essentially I would have do, you know. So
yeah, because so many of them, like dancing was neat.
Yeah,
but I completely useless.
Yeah, I mean, rarely used any of that.
Right? And Gal, I thought was really neat in theory, but
yeah,
I rarely found any of his berserk abilities that I thought were just wow.
Yeah,
I definitely want to have him in a pinch. Not
really. Yeah, because that's one thing I never understood about the design of the game, that there are three characters who essentially their power just you can't control them, and that's just. And in a game that relies on strategy, like, it really sucks to not be able to control a character because Mog, once he starts dancing,
you can't control it.
He just uses the, like, four move set inside whatever dance you chose. Guau or Gao, Ga, I never really know how to say that, but that character, that he, you know, you can control him until you actually use his abilities, and then, like, Mog, he will only use like the four moves within whatever monster you're emulating.
Yeah, because his ability is to rage, and the mechanic's really cool because it's like you encounter monsters on the veldt where he's from, and he can, as you're fighting those monsters, you can just send him to like go live with those monsters for a little bit.
Use the ability becomes leap when you're on the veldt, and he just jumps on, and then you go fight a few more monsters. Eventually, he'll pop up at the end. And if you can stop clicking long enough not to attack him, because it always happens. I keep clicking. All of a sudden, I just smack him, and he runs away again. You gotta give him some time to get unpissed and then come back.
But he'd come back with the monster abilities learned. So he's kind of like this weird blue mage, where it's like...
Sort of.
I mean,
sort of,
Strago's really
Strago's your blue mage. Yeah.
But he's like this weird in-between where I guess he has technically... He probably has the most abilities in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as variety.
It's just you can't choose them. You can just choose the monster that he learned from, and then he just goes into rage and becomes uncontrollable and starts using their abilities.
And since we're talking about it, he is like... He gets so many of those are just completely useless.
Oh, God,
They're completely useless. Like, there's the first, you always wind up, the first few you have are like the trilobite, the
rabbi,
the priest monk, the rodite, like these few that are just completely all they do.
Lobo.
Like, Lobo, the little wolf. Yeah. But like, there ends up being a list that is huge.
Oh, it's enormous.
But I never was able to get more than like maybe 20% of it filled going to the veldt. Like I spent time trying to learn, but I
did. I spent like, that was my project one summer was to try and get all of his rages. Turns out you can't.
You can't?
You cannot. There is like a glitch in the game where there are a few monsters that will not spawn on the veld, and so you cannot get their rages.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad I didn't waste so much time.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I spent so much time. Like, I looked it up. I was like, "Why? Okay, the mag rotor. Why is it not showing up?
Because
I
remember I looked at
the list. And
the
like,
mag rotor from the when you're leaving the Magatech facility?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's one of the ones that won't spawn, and then there are like some of the dragons that won't spawn there. So, like, I mean, I got everything else. Yeah, because it ends up, like, there is one point in the game where he's really, really useful. Because when you first get him, you can leap into a Templar, which is one of the monsters that was at the a Magitek base.
And the Templar always casts fire, too, right at the beginning.
Which is, like, broken at that point in the game.
Yeah.
So, he's up until the Opera House, he is, like, the most powerful character. And then he drops off, and he's useless for the rest of the game.
The only one I remember getting that was a really... I think it's Ghost. It's either the Ghost or Shade or something that he'll almost always cast Float at the beginning of it. And that was always helpful. And then there was another one that the only time you came across this monster was in the Esper Cave. And it was like a black dragon skeleton thing.
Oh, okay. You're talking
and
about.
It was really, really powerful too. But I think that was the one I used the most because it was the most powerful of all the rages that I could actually get. And I couldn't. Other than that, I couldn't find any that were worth a shit. The Telstar. Telstar did like a razor. Laser.
Okay.
Thing.
Yeah, like the Magitek.
Yeah.
Laser.
Yeah. Okay. Invariably, what would happen to me is I'd be fighting in the veldt trying to grind out all these monsters. and I would be fighting the same monsters over and over again. And over, it's like, yeah. All right, I got those. And then I'd come across one that I don't have. I'd have Gao leap. And then the next like five fights, it's all these awesome monsters where it's like, oh, I wish I had Gao so I could leap and get these abilities.
I think I never figured out if this was true or not, but I thought there might be something to the idea that, like, especially after the second half of the game, which we'll talk about that, I imagine, mm-hmm. later, but
sure.
The more, like, if you come back after doing certain events or, like, getting other characters with you, it might change up the monsters that actually appear on the belt. I don't know if that's true or not, but I always kind of thought that was probably how, because I know every time I would go there and spend time, it's always the same shit over and over.
Yeah.
So you've got to be able to do something to change it up.
I remember there was one argument that Meg and I had because, like, the first few times I changed everybody's names into, like, my friends' names, but then I would keep who they were, their regular names.
This was ridiculous,
Meg,
by the way.
Meg kept all their names the same except for, like, one character. Except for one character, she changed his name.
Whose name?
And he's one of my favorite characters, so I took it as a personal insult.
It was ridiculous.
Who'd you change?
I agree, you're ridiculous.
No, Tyler's ridiculous for being offended by this. It was Sion, his name, and he had this great mustache like Tom Selleck. Oh. So I named him Selleck.
Oh, Meg.
Had a big Tom Selleck mustache.
Man. Yikes. That's okay. Yeah, it's your game, right? You do it however you want.
Yeah.
My fucking game. We'll do
it. Who, do you remember who your final party was, Meg? Who did you enjoy that you wanted to have in your final party?
Well, definitely Sabin, because I racked some Aurabolt.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Mm-hmm. I thought you would hate Sabin, because I thought you would hate putting in those moves, but you surprised
me. I was
damn
good
at it. Yeah. And Sabin's just badass all the way around.
Locke, Celeste.
Celeste makes pizzas. Different character.
Tyler, can you remember who else is in my final party?
Jeff Shadow. You had Selleck. You kept Selleck throughout the whole thing.
Of course
you did. I really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, you took the time to name him. Might as well.
She digs facial hair.
I did like Shadow, too. No, I was really into Locke.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning Locke on Mananpog.
Well, that should be the other question. Who was your actual favorite character?
Locke.
Shadow. Tyler?
I'm trying to think. It's hard.
Not fucking Terra.
No.
See, the first time I played through the game, I only had three favorite characters. That four slot was just kind of floating for me. Like, it was Terra, Sabin, and Mog the first time. But then, from then on out, my final party was always Shadow, Locke, Terra, and Sion.
Well, I should go back and say, not who is your favorite character to play, who is your favorite character as in, like, the story, like, character?
Locke.
Yeah, I'd probably have to say Locke.
I'm Shadow.
I loved this character, but he was so useless in battle. Setzer was by far favorite. I thought he was great. I even thought his avatar was the coolest.
Yeah.
Long white hair and the jacket and everything. Like,
because Setzer is basically Sean Miller.
He is. He's a drunken gambler womanizer that scours the world for fine things.
He's like if you and Gambit had a love child, you'd make Setzer.
Yeah, I could handle that.
Although Setzer's...
I mean, I could handle that. Gambit couldn't handle this.
Gambit's the power bottom.
But he, like, Setzer is sort of secretly the most powerful character in the game because of a glitch.
What's the glitch? I don't know.
That in, during battle... These. If you use an echo screen or echo grass, I think, if you use that on the enemy, it takes away their resistance to automatic death. And then if you rapidly press pause, you can basically control the slots. So you can see it coming and slow it down and basically always get Joker Doom to kill all enemies. So you can use an echo screen to take away resistances, Joker Doom, and you can kill even bosses, like 95% of the bosses in the game with this trick.
Man, this game this game is glitchy as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this game is super glitchy. And, like, I didn't even know that, but I 100% believe it because, like, I know of, like, I don't know, just a handful of other glitches that are just, like, completely ridiculous.
The Vanish X-Zone trick. to where you would cast basically invisibility on an enemy and then use that warp spell and automatically kill them.
Which I worked abused. On most
all bosses. I use that too.
I abused the hell out of that when I was in middle school. What was
realm? I always used it on one battle in particular because it was super difficult, and that is in Cyan's Dream when you're on the train again. The boss at the end of that I always thought was super difficult, so I was always like, banish X Zone. The only one every time, even today when I play through it again, I still do it.
And that's another thing. I'm sitting there thinking, in my last playthrough, I didn't even do that. I don't think
you went and got him, unlocked his
that scenario
stuff.
Yeah.
Well, and what's weird about like the glitches is like I didn't notice them at all, like as a kid, because like for as many glitches as there are, I feel like none of them are glaring. It's just kind of like one of those things where it's like that echo grass shit you were just talking about. I wouldn't have known that in a million fucking years if you hadn't told me that. That's just like one of those things where it's
there
like.
There's no internet.
Yeah.
One of the worst glitches I know is, spoilers for this glitch, because basically the game, Final Fantasy VI is basically two different games. The first half and the latter half are completely different. Everything changes in the second half of the game.
Right.
But you can make it look like the first half of the game by exploiting a glitch. And the rafters of the opera house, there are these rats running around. If you leave one alive in the first part of the game, a certain one, if you leave it alive, and if you go back in the second half of the game and kill it, it makes all the towns look like they did in the first part of the game.
See, I don't think that's a glitch so much as it's just a really important rat.
it's the Time Lord rat.
Yeah. That just that's the world anchor rat.
Yeah, it's, if anybody hasn't played it but has played WoW, think the Cataclysm expansion, because it's the same world, but it's just completely turned on its head. Yeah.
Busted.
I remember watching this video of this woman who did this, and I would have never, I mean, it's an endeavor to do, but if you save as just, when you're just Terra Unlocked at the beginning of the game, when you step out of Narsh and save, and then you don't save again, you basically go through until the floating continent, and then you die. So you play through without saving to the middle of the game, and if you die, your airship goes with you. So you go back to that first day of the very beginning of the game, and your airship is sitting outside of Narsh. So then at that point, you can then just break the shit out of the game.
Oh, no shit.
And the game, like one of the things that she noticed that was really fun, if you like automatically go to Zozo, you have to have at least like 8 members in your party to go to Zozo. It fills in those slots with Moogles, the Moogles from the beginning of the game.
What?
So then it's like Kupak and Kumama and Mog saying Celeste and Locke's dialogue and stuff like that as you try to go throughout the whole thing.
Oh, man, I want to go home right now. I'm so bad to try that.
Well, it has something to do with, like, the programming, right? Because, like, they saved, in order to, like, save the amount of data that they use, like, all the characters are essentially the same.
They all have, it's like, just, floating values instead of set values.
And they just do, like, a sprite switch out. It's nuts. That's
you can hilarious. Do that to make, I forget, you can force somebody's character to be General Leo.
Man.
Until they have like a line of dialogue, then they reset.
Those General Leo rumors.
Speaking of conspiracy theories, yeah.
When I was a kid, like I tried everyone that I heard.
You
where it's
could
like,
possibly do.
You can get General Leo in your party if you do this.
It's like, all right, I'll see you 3 months from
right,
now.
Right, exactly.
You can get Cecil from Fantasy IV in your party if you do this.
I've never heard
Josh
that.
Josh and I saw a Photoshop we thought was real and then saw that we had to do it. We tried to do it. What else is another one we fell for? Getting Kefka in your party was another one we fell for. Oh man, General Leo was like the big one. Yeah. Oh man,
you had a Lego guy named after General Leo.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You had a Lego general.
So it was always fun for me as a kid playing with the General Leo Lego, trying to do his sword move. So like, I'd be playing with the Lego, charging into battle.
There's technically, as we sit here talking about that, you say there's 14 playable characters that you can put in your party, but technically there's more than that because you have Vix and Wedge in your party at one point.
Yeah.
You have Bannon in your party at one point. You have Leo. I think, is there a point where Gastal is in your party? Mm-hmm. I know he comes up and actually does battle with Kefka at one point.
Yeah.
Spoilers, sorry. I mean, that's... That's hardly a spoiler that you got to worry
about. I think we're going on the assumption that everyone listening to this has played it.
If you haven't played this game,
we kind of have.
Yeah, you got
it. Pause
Stop
this.
Listening. Yeah. You are wasting your life without playing that game.
Have you guys already given away the ending that you like the game?
I think it's probably inferred.
Yeah. Because this was one of your, in order to make, get married, Meg, this is one of the games you had to play. But this one you didn't mind so much.
No, I really like this game. Really liked it.
It's an amazing game. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked, what do you want to say for next week?
Whatever we don't get to this week.
Yeah, which is going to be a lot, because like, I have a feeling we're just going to barely scratch the surface.
Yeah, it's hard to, there's just so much content in this game. Because
it's like, we've like really only talked about a handful of the characters.
Well, yeah, I mean, we haven't talked about, like, we haven't really gone through, Final Fantasy II, we kind of went through and kind of explained the story as it happened. And
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, and I feel like we fucked that up. So.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I like talking about, like, what we like about the game.
Yeah.
Like,
I love the beginning. In the beginning, whenever, you're in the Magitek armor, things are totally different than Magitek armor. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Terra is a complete badass, which I didn't know. This is something I found out later, because in the second half of the game is basically all side quests. It's just to get your party members back and unlock all their ultimate abilities.
Yeah.
And there's a segment in Cyan's side story where you're in a dream and you're back in Magitek armor, and it kind of sucks because everybody only has three beams unless you put Terra in your party, and Terra has all the abilities she had from the beginning of the game, and she fucks shit up because, like, now that she's a higher level, all her Magitek stuff is incredibly powerful, and you can just tech missile one shot. Like, everything is Terra at that point, and it's weird being Umaro in a suit of Magitek armor.
I'm actually really glad that you brought up the World of Ruin, because whenever I go back and forth between which game I like better, Chrono Trigger or Final Fantasy III, Chrono Trigger always kind of seems to win out just a little bit because of every time I play this game, every time I play Final Fantasy III, I will get to the halfway point and then stop playing. It's like I finished Chrono Trigger fucking a whole bunch of times, but I'll probably only finish Final Fantasy III like four or five times.
Yeah.
Yeah, the very beginning, like after the World of Ruin, it's a little bit tedious. When you wind up, and again, we're just foregoing the spoiler at this point, you wind up with Celis, you got to catch the fish, take it back, catch the fish, take it back, catch the fish, take it back. Sid, are you dead yet? No? All right.
Catch the fish. Fish.
Sid, fucking die, Sid. You old bastard, just die. Give me the raft and get me the hell out of here.
I remember hearing you could save him, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh,
man, it is so fucking hard to save him.
Yeah,
but
I've done it once.
It can be done?
It can be done.
Oh, well, great. Another
thing I can do. If you feed him slow, the slow fish are sick fish, and they'll make him sicker and die. If you only feed him super fast fish, he will get better and survive.
Yep.
It has no ramifications on the rest of the game.
No. But yeah, that part right there, then
you
going,
can't like bring him over from that small island. He just lives there from then on.
He is the most powerful character in the game.
Yeah.
You actually have to save him, and then he becomes General Leo. That's how you get him in your party.
Oh.
Then after that, I think the first place you go is you find Sabin.
Mm-hmm.
And that part, like that little the little thing in the house is kind of neat because it's like you're racing against time.
It's all like on fire and shit.
Yeah, but until you actually get the airship, it seems really tedious, that little stretch right there. Once you get the airship back, it's like, okay, right, now I can go around and find all the cool shit and do all the fun things. Go to the old, what's her name's crypt, Daryl. Crypt and all that stuff. Those are really neat, fun parts of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that little stretch right there is hard to get over the hump.
Daryl's Crypt always felt like a kind of a weird outlier for me playing through the game because, like, I get the items that cure zombieism, like, early on, but, like, no one ever fucking turns you into a zombie.
Yeah.
No one except in Daryl's tomb. And you'll get fucking zombified all the time, but it's like, it's not that bad of a status element just to make sure everybody else doesn't get it.
Yeah.
It just always felt like just a weird part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's, of course, where you get the experience egg. So.
Yeah, and it's also it's a really puzzling part of the game because I remember it took me a while the last time I played through because I've done it so many times you'd think it would be just habit by now. But trying to figure out which lever to push when and having to raise the water level, take it back up and do all that shit was just ugh.
Mm-hmm.
What egg do you get from the Brachiosaurs? Is it the gold egg? Or do they also drop
you
experience
get the
eggs?
Economizer.
The economizer, that's right. Man, I remember farming those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything cost one MP.
Economizer. Yeah. Tyler did that. Tyler did that for me.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I did that for you. I did that for you and for your niece whenever I played through it with her. So I just
did. Rachel play this game?
Uh-huh. She played it and beat it.
I almost never used magic.
She did?
She did.
Yeah. I didn't when I was younger. Like I was
we were
always,
all at your mom's house for like 2 weeks.
It's completely two conversations. Yeah.
It's like the worst Seinfeld episode about video games ever.
Sorry.
No, it's really my fault because I just kept going and you were trying to figure out which niece played.
We were thinking of having a super important conversation. It had to be had immediately.
But since you brought up the Brachiosaur, Tyrannosaurus Forest.
That's kind of a weird part of the game, that there's just this one forest where there are a bunch of fucking dinosaurs.
That no one talks about. You'd think they would like mention that. Like, hey, there's this really weird forest. Did you know?
There's one guy on the Veld.
Oh, is
when
there?
When they're staying around that fire, he'll tell you about a weird part of the woods north of the Veld. That's it. That's the only part of the game.
He doesn't say there's fucking dinosaurs.
Yeah, he says there's a strange wood.
To me, everything's strange in this world of fantasy.
Yeah, but that was the best going in there with whatever character with the offering and experience egg, or the offering and the Genji glove, and then one whatever lobby piece of shit that you never bothered to level up and just take them in there together, fight a Tyrannosaur, bam, 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 dead, like 50,000 experience.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that was...
Speaking of the Genji glove, I think, is probably the best relic in the game. But I think there are only three of them, maybe, in the game.
Yeah, I'm not even sure.
Tell everybody what it does.
It allows you to equip weapons in both hands.
Right.
So it doubles your offensive power. And I remember the first time I played through the game, I didn't like Locke because like I thought Steel sucked. I didn't think he was that powerful physically. I didn't use him. I didn't realize like when it comes to offensive power, if you tool him correctly, he's like the best in the game. But it's critical that he gets a Genji glove. I think the earliest you can get one, it's really weird in that in the Returner's cave, you can get a Genji glove. Because Bannon pulls Terra outside and is like, I want you to join our cause. He lays out all these reasons. And of course, first time I play it through, I'll just say yes. And you know, go through the game. But if you say no, he's like, okay, well, I'll just let you think about it.
Yeah.
And he'll stand there. If you go back inside and go back to the warehouse in the very back, there's a guy there I really want you to join our side. Here, take this. And he gives you a Genji glove. Mm-hmm. Just a weird little thing like... Unless I knew about it, like I never would have said no to Bannon. Like, this is Terra's responsibility. This is how you keep going with the game. You say yes.
Yeah, what I say is I never would have said no. I want to play the fucking game.
Yeah. Another one is hidden in the Phoenix Cave in a hard to get to place, like between all these spikes. Because, like, the first time I played through the game, I missed all the Genji gloves and I missed the Atma weapon. Mm. The Atma weapon is also hidden in the Phoenix Cave. Nah. And when you first get it, it's super shitty and, like, even when I got it, I was like, oh, I don't know what this is. And it turns out being it's like the second most powerful weapon in the entire game.
Was it in the Phoenix Cave?
The Phoenix...
No,
it's in the Esper Cave.
Yeah, it's in the Esper Cave because you get it before... Yeah, about to say, I thought so because I thought you got it. You could actually use it, but it's sort of useless.
Until you have 1,000 hit points, then it actually gets a little better.
Yeah.
But anything below 1,000 hit points max, it's garbage because its strength depends on how many hit points you have. So once you get to at least about 7,000, 8,000 hit points...
You're doing max damage.
...constantly, and it's like, it takes up... It's a massive, massive weapon that glows blue, and shadows swing behind you. It's it's amazing. But
when you don't have much, it's just this basic little blue dagger-looking thing.
Yeah, it's garbage. But get the Genji glove, the Atma weapon, and then in the second part of the game, when you find Locke, he's the only one who can unlock all the doors in Narsh. Because everyone in Narsh... In the world come, so they've locked their doors and they don't want to go outside. Only Locke can pick their doors and go inside. And there's one guy, once you pick his lock and go inside, he's dying in the basement. And he's like, I found this old rock. You can have it, or I guess it looks like it's about to fall apart. I could probably reforge into a weapon. And he pulls out a piece of magicite. And of course, the first time I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to take that magicite.
Right.
And it's awesome because it teaches you Ultima, which is the best spell in the game. But if you say fortune into a sword, it becomes Ragnarok, which is incredibly powerful. But the trick to that is you go to the Colosseum and you bet it. And that gives you the Illumina, which is the best weapon in the game. As long as you have MP, I think it's like 14 MP automatic critical, and will randomly cast Pearl, which is essentially holy.
Yeah. Which that's what we haven't talked about, the Magicite yet. That's
the magic system in Fallout.
Yeah, the magic system, which I think is fantastic.
We like it too.
I love it.
It's my second favorite to Materia. Materia is my favorite, but.
And they're kind of really similar. I think Magicite and Materia, it's kind of similar.
Materia is a much more complicated version of it, I think. But
I mean, compared to other like Final Fantasy magic systems, I feel like they're pretty, they're like the cousins of each other.
Yeah. Because Magicite, what essentially in the game, espers are magical beings. And when they die, like they turn into rocks that contain their power. And then if you, so you have an equipment slot for Magicite, and it'll have a spell and then like a multiplication table on it. And then you get magic points at the end of every battle. So if you get 4 magic points and you learn fire at 10%, that'll give you 40 magic points. Once you hit 100, you learn that spell.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And also they have level up stats, like speed plus 10%. Yeah. So if you have that equipped when you level up, your speed or whatever stat says, you get a bonus.
And the espers are essentially the summoned monsters.
I was going to say, and then you could also summon the monsters.
Yeah, they're essentially like, if you played Final Fantasy II and for some reason didn't play this, like the ones that Rydia summons, it's just like that. And you use them that way, but everybody can summon them as long as they have that Magicite equipped.
Yeah.
And everyone does a little something different. You know, a lot of them are damaging. One heals everybody. One phoenix, I think, resurrects. If you got a party full of dead people, I think it resurrects everybody. There's a couple of really boring ones. One, like Fenrir, doesn't it like just cast
shadow
on everybody? Mm-hmm. It's like that's not particularly helpful.
Let's not forget Stray.
Yeah,
just Stray. what the hell? There's a few of them that are like
Stray does Regen.
Yeah, one of them does Muddle. I think
Carbuncle does something kind of dumb.
Bismarck, just that big whale, just
love Bismarck.
Bismarck. Didn't he just do a really small heel? I think
maybe he does.
The only ones the ones were like, we don't know, those don't matter.
Yeah,
because like there's only like a handful that really matter.
Yeah, Odin, Raiden, Tara, there's a few,
yeah,
Shiva, Gollum. Ifrit, yeah. Gollum was good because Gollum would cast safe on your entire party. Palindor was good because it would cast Shell on your entire party. Crusader was the most powerful summon to do physical damage. The Magicite, Ragnarok, I think, is what teaches you Ultima.
Uh-huh.
If you get it as Magicite and when you summon it, it's a sword that turns an enemy into a random item. Most of the time, for some weird reason, it always turned enemies into dried meat for me.
Well, it makes sense.
Did you have Gao in your party?
Yeah.
Gotta get him back. I remember I did a playthrough where I didn't sell anything in the game. I tried to get 99 of every single item if I could. And if you get every single item in the game, it does fit perfectly where your entire inventory is filled up. Just perfectly. That's nice.
Which one is it that when you cast it, it can kill your own party? Wasn't there one of them that, or maybe I'm thinking of a different game, but I was thinking if it was like either Raiden or one of those that when you cast it, it'll come through and slice and it'll actually damage your own party.
Oh, I don't
know. I may be dreaming that. But that's another.
I know one of Setzer's abilities can also kill your party.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's like the rarest one to get is like.
And that's
kills
happened to me before.
On the whole screen.
And it's infuriating. Because I remember that happened to me and it was just like, never using Setzer ever again.
Because you always did the thing where you turned Odin into Raiden, didn't you?
Yeah.
Mm hmm. Because you have to. I didn't know about that I played the game 3 times, I think, before I knew about that. Because I'm never going to go use the Figaro Castle again. Fuck that. Because you have to know to go to Figaro Castle and make it burrow underground. Sure, you have an airship, but no, you need to travel via underground moving castle.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really cool little side story.
Yeah.
You learned about that's the where you thousand get the, years ago war.
That's where you get the offering.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Because you got to fight the little samurai looking guy. Mm-hmm. You get a monster in a box and you try to open it.
It'll fuck you up.
Yeah.
There's so much in this game that's completely missable. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, I'm curious. Do you, Tyler, you probably know the answer to this question. Do you know, like, how few characters you can get through the game with?
I remember I wanted to do that challenge. I started that. Then I loaned Jacob my DS, so that challenge never got fulfilled. But I still want to see I know you'd have to beat the game with just Celeste, Setzer, and Edgar.
Oh.
That's the minimum you could do.
Oh, yeah, because I guess in the World of Ruin, you
those
just
the, those are the only characters you have to get, and that's enough to finish the game.
And you have to have three parties in Kefka's Tower, so one person per...
One person per thing. It'd be fucking rough.
Yeah.
And then having to go through, with just three people, the entire rung of Kefka's, the final boss.
But I realized that if you, like every time, of course you're having to switch, you know, use the Y button to switch back and forth between the parties to step on plates and stuff. You could do that. And I ended up doing that because I had one party. I wasn't thinking when I put the parties together, and I put like four of my most powerful people in the first party, and then like the next four, and then just the really bad backup, like third string C. Yeah. It was like Realm, you know, Mog, Strago with no spells at all. He just had Aqua Rake, Stone, and Grand Train. Somehow I'd gotten Grand Train, which is his
Grand
most powerful,
Train is an awesome, that was yeah, his most oh,
powerful
yeah.
spell.
Oh yeah,
and then like whatever other fourth piece of shit. So, but if you go, you can, as you're flipping back and forth, you just stop, take Rock's Offering and Genji Glove off. Switch over, you can get to the next party, and they can put it on. Like, there's no, it's not being broke up anyhow, so it could be feasible.
You
to
did
that
with
that
the
way.
Moogle Charm, because, like, the Moogle Charm being, I missed that the first few times, like, that lets you skip all random encounters completely.
Oh, man, I needed that Moogle Charm so much faster.
Wasn't that in the cave there, like, with Umaro? Like, yep. You found it by, once you go back and get Umaro, there's like a...
When you go back and get Mog,
there's
where
a
he's
skull
standing.
And crossbone standing there. Like you
that's where you
it,
get a piece of Magisite. You get the Magisite Teratoe out of it. Because okay. He's like, you go up, is there a piece of Magisite in this thing's eye? And you pull it out, and that's when you make Umaro pissed off, and he comes down and fights you.
Oh, okay.
But where Mog is standing in Narsh, once you recruit him and then go check where he's standing, you get the Moogle Charm. Okay. Which in my challenge playthrough I couldn't do because then you'd recruit him. And I don't want to recruit him. So I have to play through without the Moogle Charm.
Oh. Kill me. I hate that.
I never used the Moogle Charm.
What?
I never used the Moogle Charm. Because the fighting's a fun part of the game.
Oh, it just feels like such a slog. The random battles are so frequent.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because I thought it was essential to me to have the Moogle Charm when you're going through that Wizard's Tower.
Oh, yeah.
To where you can't use physical attack, you don't want to use magic. Nah, fucking Moogle Charm and just run up to the top.
I never even thought about that.
Yeah. Because that's where, of course, trying to find, to get Crusader, you have to kill those seven dragons throughout the course of the game.
Yeah, well, that was one of the only, like, I can't remember what it was at the top. I think it was the jeweled box. But what did that do?
Let you cast two spells in a turn.
That's right. Okay.
So you want the jeweled box and the economizer.
Right.
Yeah.
And see, like, that's what I was telling Dave. I never used spells hardly at all because I always had those four characters that had the really powerful abilities. So, like, I'd never probably use the jeweled box or the economizer or any of that stuff.
I remember then the first time, I remember getting the cursed shield. I was like, what the fuck? This is such a useless item. Oh, and then I heard somebody was like, you can uncurse that, you know?
Yeah.
What? How do I uncurse the cursed shield? That sounded like another bullshit internet rumor. But that was actually legitimate. You can uncurse it, and it's the most powerful shield in the game, and teaches you Ultima. So then you can still learn Ultima without getting the Magisite.
And then the imp armor.
Oh, man. I remember I just did that on a whim. Like, I wonder what's going to happen if I get all four pieces of this
imp
armor.
Oh, I love the imp armor.
Oh, man.
And the imp halberd.
Imp halberd, yeah. The tortoise shield, the imp armor, and then
I can't remember that.
Something else, yeah. And
but
then,
it's a four piece.
And then cast imp on that person, and they're fucking invincible. Yep. That's just it. That's what I'd probably have to do to beat the game in that challenge mode. Is just have a party of three imps decked out in imp armor.
Did you ever throw imp halberds with?
Yeah.
No.
Imp halberd. Yeah. Super powerful.
Just automatic.
Supers. Like, I don't remember. There's one place where you go, and if you do a lot of random battles, you end up getting a shit ton of imp halberds. Mm-hmm. I can't remember where it's at, but I remember as I was playing through this last time, not that long ago, I had like 50 or 60 imp halberds, and I had Shadow, and I was like, oh, you know, I need to throw something. Well, I got a bunch of these. Holy shit. I was just mowing through things, throwing this imp halberd at him.
This might be for another the other half of the show, but for me, it really isn't about the gameplay at all. I really liked the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, the story is great.
I guess we'll talk about more about the story next time. We're just talking about mechanics and treasure and stuff.
The next three quarters.
But no, go ahead and tell your story part. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that I really liked the story, especially the love story.
Locke and Celeste.
Story. Yes.
Yes.
It's so good.
Mog and Yumaro, yeah.
It's a weird relationship. I don't know how they make that, their lovemaking work.
Although this game, my love for this game is what netted me my first million gil in Final Fantasy XI. Because I remember there was somebody in Junoa like shouting, like, wager money, and he would give you a Final Fantasy quiz. And then you'd base on the difficulty and then get reward. And I went in, bet $100,000, went for highest difficulty, and he asked me the name of Locke's girlfriend that dies. Does anybody know?
Is it
Rachel? Rachel. Yeah.
Is Rachel.
Because I was getting ready to say Daryl, and I was like, no, Daryl was Setzer's girlfriend that died.
Is Rachel. And he was like, okay, million gil. It's like, awesome. You want to keep playing? Nope. I'm good.
Walk away while the getting's good.
Having played Earthbound got me a quarter of a million gil in Final Fantasy 14 because someone was doing a server transfer. I just made the character on Cactar, named him. It was a, I can't remember what they're called in Final Fantasy 14. I still call him Gauka. I made a Gauka named Spiteful Crow. And this person just ran up to me and was like, here, trade me. And I thought they were scamming me. I didn't know like what was like, because like it took me a long time to get on this server because it's always full. So like I almost told this person, look, please don't do anything that's going to get me in trouble because I really want to play on this server really bad. And they're like, trade me. And they gave me all this money. And I was like just standing there like, what do you want me to do with this? And they're like, stay there. I was like, okay. And I'm like, at this point, I was like, oh, God. Like, a GM's just going to show up at any moment and be like,
hello, Gilbar. Right, exactly.
did you think he had robbed the Vanadil Bank or something?
Well, I thought it was like a gil seller or something. Like, I was being used as like a gil mule. Where it's like, because I'm just level one, just standing there, like my level one gear with this little seed next to my icon that says I'm new. So then they're like, just hold on, wait right there. They disappear, and then another character runs up to me and trades me like 100,000 gil. And I'm like, I was like, wait, I just thought it was like they were trying to like transfer money or something. So I was like, I can't remember how much you gave me. And they're like, no, that's yours. I'm leaving for another server and you can only take a million with you. So this is my extra money.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, oh, wow, that's really cool. I just assumed that it was because of Earthbound, but I didn't want to like press my luck with this person because I didn't want them to be like, hey, give me that money back.
And my trivia knowledge of this game is so good because what Josh and I would do when we had to go to church on Sunday mornings is we would make sure we always had pens.
When you had to go to church?
We had to go to church.
When
we were forcibly made to go to church.
When you're
on the front row so we wouldn't talk.
When you're young and don't have a car, you are forced to go to church. There's really no two ways around it.
So then on the church bulletin, Josh and I would just, as the hardest quizzes we could possibly come up with, passing back and forth to each other. And like somewhere I have a box somewhere with like where there's a stack of church bulletins just covered in ink. Every inch of it where we'd pass quizzes back and forth.
You worshipped your false idols, Locke and Saban.
You should do that on. You should do that on the end of the second episode. Is do a quiz.
That's pretty. Yeah.
I don't want to take that quiz.
No one.
God, I don't want
to
take that quiz.
I'll give it to Josh. When Josh comes back, I'll be like, all right, church quiz, Josh.
Yeah. Oh, Meg, can you bring in a church bulletin
that we can use? Yeah, I'll bring you a whole stack of them. You can cover them.
Because, God, I mean, we would be like, what Esper gives you plus 2% vigor?
Oh, wow.
We did like, I mean, that's crazy. It was hardcore.
See, that's why I don't want to take this quiz.
It's Titan, like, by the way.
Nerds.
We're about to run long, but I do believe like
I'm about out of battery too.
Okay, we might have had some texts that are Final Fantasy related.
Did we?
I think so. I know Drew Rowland at least sent us one.
Hi, Drew.
I hope this is Drew. 478 says, "Friggin' Tadpog: Have you guys ever played any of the fan made mods? Also, which story part is sadder?" Gal's dickhole dad or Cyan's poison family?
Neither. Shadow's story.
They're all the stories are pretty. They're really fucking sad. Tragic.
Yeah, there is a lot of tragedy. As we were just talking about everybody's dead girlfriends.
Yeah.
Well,
which dead girlfriend was that?
Or maybe Mog being the last of his kind.
It's
all well, pretty. Gal's dad was just crazy, though, right? I mean, he was just...
Yeah.
I mean, he was insane. That's
and just abandoned him to monsters.
Just threw him outside. Yeah.
I think that's the sad. It's super sad, but I think calling him a dickhole is not really accurate. He was crazy.
He's clearly a schizophrenic.
I'm sensitive to mental health, you know. It's people out there need help, and that guy clearly didn't have access to the kind of services.
They've got no health care on the belt whatsoever.
Yeah. I'm going to go Selleck's family. I got to. Because that even as a kid, that bothered me.
What was I reading online about? Like,
you bet.
They were prohibited from saying death. Or saying kill or anything like that. So that's why, like, they're just there. And he says, Elaine, oh, wait, he doesn't say they've been murdered, they've been killed, they've died.
But they do a good job of, like, inferring it. Because, I mean, it's just like, I mean, everyone knows what happened because they get on the ghost train and the ghost train to hell. Oh,
suplexing the ghost train.
Yes.
That was cool.
Saving you. You powerful bastard, you.
I haven't played any mods of this game.
I've never.
No.
I've straight played this on the Super Nintendo.
I think it would bother me to do so because I've played a re-released version. I can't remember which one it was where they changed all the names for everything. And I played it for like 15 minutes and just closed my DS or whatever and set it the fuck down. I was like, nope. Yeah. Can't
the Illumina is like the light bringer. And I'm like, no.
And when they change the dialogue or it's just like, nope, not going to do it. If Shadow wouldn't slit his mama's throat for a nickel, I'm not playing this game.
Oh, man.
I mean, Go-Go was pretty sad.
Oh, yeah, that's a really sad story.
And is it a she?
Is it the rumor.
Oh, the rumor.
There's always this rumor that it's a she.
The rumor is that Go-Go is Adelaide Stevenson.
Is that site still around?
We'll see. We'll put it in the show notes.
But he's living inside the stomach of a monster. Uh-huh. That's pretty sad.
Yeah, that is pretty sad. He seems pretty content enough, though.
I suppose. Yeah.
He's just chilling there.
Just wearing his rugs.
Because I've also heard that Go-Go is Daryl. Like when the airship crashed, it crashed on Triangle Island.
That's Daryl. Yeah.
I think it's Boba Fett.
Oh.
Because I remember there was another internet thread. Like if you just have Go-Go and Setzer and you fight 2,000 battles, her memory comes back. Go-Go takes off the uniform and it's Daryl.
That's a lie.
I know that now.
Did you try it for real?
Yeah, I tried that.
Oh my God.
I love it.
I went back to the first island in the game where everything's super weak, and I just fought fucking...
No.
I remember I had, like, all these tally marks.
No.
Like, where I fought all these battles.
No. That's awesome. That's all right. I did really weird shit to try to get Leo in the party. Or to bring him back. Spoilers.
Spoilers, yeah. Oh, man. Such a good character.
I'm going to try a lot of that stuff when I get home.
I don't know. Maybe it's 3,000.
Maybe, you,
lo-
3, maybe you lost count, okay?
Thanks for coming on, both of you.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher, so don't miss the next episode. I think next Monday, we're probably going to do Super Monkey Ball 2.
Probably. Maybe.
And then maybe.
Who knows?
Depends on if John Turley delivers or not. If he doesn't, we don't know.
I have a feeling it's going to spiral into a conversation about monkeys playing tennis.
John Turley, the reigning champion. The reigning champion of guessos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Tyler sent me the bar graph, and I was like, "Fucking Turley." Yeah. Like, he's got it on his schedule now. This is the day that I just go and hang out. Yeah. No, you're recording Tadpog. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well. The guy who didn't even want to record.
Yeah. and now that's all he does. Yeah. Like
the guy who, when I would show up to your house on Tuesday, would immediately
just leave,
afraid he would turn the mics on. And then next Wednesday will be part two of Final Fantasy 3.
Part two of maybe 4.
It might be. Depends on how much we get to.
There's so much.
Yeah. This might be Final Fantasy 3 month.
Bring in the new year with Final Fantasy 3.
Because also while you're there, we love 5-star iTunes reviews.
We do.
We're at 92. We're so close to 100. Man. I want it so badly. Oh, I want it so badly.
That'd be a really good Christmas gift.
That would be. Yeah. That would be such a good Christmas gift for us to have 100. But on Christmas Day, to get up and I rush in to check my iTunes and see 100 reviews.
That or $50,000. You must send us that. That's equal. That's about how much it means.
Because don't you know when you get to 100 iTunes reviews, Apple sends you $50,000.
Generosity. Good.
So a little incentive for you to provide those 5-star reviews, besides keeping the guns out of our mouths, giving us just so much Christmas spirit. But if you leave a written review, if there's a game you want us to play or a guest host you want for a certain episode, include that in the review, and we promise we will get to it
eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about monkeys and balls, perhaps. At the very least, we'll be talking about more Final Fantasy at some point.
That's what they call it in Europe. Monkeys and balls, perhaps.
I feel fairly confident you're going to be talking about monkeys and balls no matter what game you play.
I already know what my intro story is, so please just remind me.
Also, I'm going to be on that episode. You can't stop me, and I also already know my intro story.
If someone could just remind me that I need to tell a story about Germany.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. You can find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. There are a lot of cool people
there.
What
are they doing?
They're doing a lot of cool stuff, Miller.
Cool.
Every damn day, they're on there making Facebook better.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on Twitter. We are at @tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. Thank you for everybody who is tweeting at us and especially retweeting our episode posts. We really appreciate it. It helps spread the word. We haven't asked this in a while, but if you really like our show, tell a friend about it. Like if you've got someone that you know hasn't listened to the show before and they like mediocre podcasts about
video games,
then yeah, they'll tell two friends. And then by the time this time next year, we'll have $50,000, I'm sure.
Unless that friend is Tyler's mother.
Right? Yeah, don't tell her.
Don't share the story.
Tell everybody but my mom.
You can call us if you want. Please do. I forget our phone number frequently. I believe it's 270-883-2555.
Yeah.
Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. Keep it under 3 minutes, if at all possible. We love questions. So ask us a question about anything. Video game related is great. Ninja Turtles and their preferred sexual positions. We like those too. Golden Girls.
I know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Please share.
Go for it.
I have read some pretty interesting Ninja Turtle erotica.
Have you?
I have.
And?
And I'll have to...
I can't keep her from reading Ninja Turtle erotica. Every time I come in, like, her Dropbox is just full of it.
You see the window minimize real quick as you walk in the room.
She shuts her iPad. I thought she's asleep.
50 Shades of Green.
That's funny because she did fly through those books in like 2 days.
Yeah. They're easy reads.
Didn't ask me to choke her afterward, though.
I mean, I did. She didn't ask me to. But, you know.
You read Fifty Shades of Grey? And I just slowly.
So call us.
I got to run to the store by a tie. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Our intro song, Somebody.
Moves by Sycamore Drive.
The link to that track can be found.
The show notes at
talkbox.com. Excellent. Should we outro as our favorite characters from Final Fantasy VI?
Yep.
All right.
I'm trying to decide on one.
I'm gonna do a girl character. My favorite girl character.
Okay. I don't. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Until next time.
Oh, I thought we were doing like a line from the game.
Ooga, ooga.
We can.
Hi-yo, Figaro. I'm sorry. What would Setzer sound like?
I don't know.
You sound like a dick.
I think it sounds something like this. You're like my airship.
Tropical Capricorn. No, this is Setzer. Tropical Capricorn.
century.
How do you think Shadow would sound? Tropical Capricorn. Tropical Capricorn. What about you, Mara? Tropical Capricorn.
What about Gal? She lived in the dump.
I like my girls like I like my grouches.
Good Sesame Street reference, bro.